Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I am right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your host, Mandy, and I am joined today by Sarah and Cindy and
Merrick.
Like and Eric with an M.
Merrick. I like that name. That's cool. And they're with Midnight Girls and Boys. How y'all doing today?
Doing good.
We're doing good.
It's sunny and very warm here where we are in Florida.
Oh, so. I bet.
So I think we're doing better than a lot of people in a lot of places,
right?
in our country right now. Yeah. So
yeah, but you know what? I'll take the cold over that humidity you guys get down there. Any day.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of that for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes I wish I lived somewhere a little bit cooler.
Yeah, I can understand that. All right, yes. So I'm curious, what's up with the name?
Okay, so when we started out, it was really just three ladies. Yeah. It was me and my mother and my cousin Melanie, and it was all the way back in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we were the Midnight Girls, and the girls actually is an abbreviation. It's GIRLS, which stands for Ghost Investigations to Research and Locate the Supernatural. So,
oh, that's a mouthful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it though.
Yeah, thank you. And then we started having some guys join our group, and we felt bad because we were the Midnight Girls. and so we had to be clever, and we like thought like, okay, what are we gonna do? And we added the boys, the BOYS, which means believe only your senses. So
wow.
Yeah, so we actually it's actually an abbreviation, but that way the guys didn't feel like,
right.
They were even like, though it is Midnight Ghost Investigations,
right,
you know,
right.
That, well, you couldn't leave them out. I'm sure they didn't want to be labeled underneath Midnight Girls.
So yeah, so that's how we became the Midnight Boys and Girls.
Or Girls and Boys.
Girls and Boys.
Yeah.
Girls and Boys. Yeah. Gotcha. Yes.
Oh, I love it. Some clever wordplay there too. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
You guys are creative.
Thank you.
All right. So now, Sarah, you had sent me some EVPs from a couple different, I think four places actually.
Yes.
I'm going to include them on the podcast, but do you remember the ones you sent, or do you need me to remind you which ones?
I think I remember. Okay. Do you want me to kind of start in the order that I sent them?
It's up to you either way, whatever's easiest for you to remember. I'm curious as to like the whole investigation behind, you know, the ones that you caught.
Okay. So, the very first one that I think is really important to talk about, and I think it was number one on the list, is the one from the St. Augustine Lighthouse. And the reason why that's important is because that's literally why we became a paranormal team. Because, wow. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I think everybody might have a similar story. But back in the early 2000s, like 2003 or 4, is when we saw this explosion of new shows like the original Ghost Hunters, like Taps.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paranormal State.
God, I forgot about
that show. And,
yeah.
and The Haunted Collector with John Zappas and things like that.
Yeah.
And so we, of course, my family's always been interested and open to the paranormal. So we watched those shows like crazy. You know, we loved this new approach that people were having, this like scientific, like really cool, different, if you think about how the new approach, you know, started in the early 2000s to paranormal investigating and taking it seriously, almost like as a scientific pursuit.
Yeah.
We were fascinated. So we just started going places, and we had very little equipment. We had like, you know, just digital cameras. And
first we just started with our little recorder
and the digital voice recorder. And so we started going places and taking pictures and recording everything with our little digital voice recorder. And so one of the places we went was the St. Augustine Lighthouse. And so the story is that it's haunted by two little girls that were the original lighthouse keeper. And I think his last name was Pilot, like a pilot that flies a plane. But, you know, back in the late 1800s, they started building the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there was an accident while the lighthouse was being constructed.
Uh-huh.
And the two little girls were on this like cart system to haul bricks down from the beach where they came off the boat up to the lighthouse, which was already like halfway built.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a little, if you think about it, like a almost like a ski lift or a gondola kind of thing, where they would get in this bucket, and it was big enough for like several kids to fit in. And this was the late 1800s, so honestly, you know, they let kids do things probably back then that like people today wouldn't allow. But they would let these girls get on this thing and go down to the beach in it, and then back up to where the lighthouse was being constructed. And one day when they got on it, the rope snapped, and it kind of slung them into the water.
Into the deeper water.
Oh, wow.
And then the bucket, which was like this heavy, like steel thing, like flipped over. They were literally like trapped underneath this bucket in the water.
Oh, gosh.
And there were actually three girls. It was the two lighthouse keeper's daughters and a friend of a little girl, probably one of the construction workers or something. But by the time they got the bucket off of them and out of the water, I think the third girl lived.
From what they say,
but the lighthouse keeper's daughters died.
Wow.
And so, and they just stayed there. Like the lighthouse keeper, they had, I think, an infant son. They finished the construction of the lighthouse, and they stayed there and worked it for many years, but they lost their two little girls from the very beginning. And from that point on, people say that sometimes you can see the lighthouse keeper and his wife, but you mostly see the two little girls, and you hear them
giggling and running
around and opening doors, and just, you know, people have gotten interesting pictures, photos and stuff that looks like they've captured, you know, little transparent girls running around and stuff like that. Well, we were there. We did a nighttime tour of this place. Yes. And it's really cool. I do urge anybody to please go if you ever have a chance
in that area.
St. Augustine's awesome. Anyhow, the oldest city in America. It is. You can look that up. And the lighthouse is just, I mean, there's so much to see there, but it's one of my favorite places. And they do Dark of the Moon tours where they get a small group of people and they do a guided tour for an hour, and then they turn you loose for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh,
in the dark on the property, which I think is really, really cool.
They let you go, kind of go where you want to in the lighthouse itself or the keeper's home. You can just kind of wander around and do your own thing for about an hour.
Yeah. And so me and mom found ourselves in the lighthouse. There was nobody else in there with us. We had climbed almost all the way to the top.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting on a landing, because there's landings along the way, because I mean, goodness, there's like 250 steps or something, so you've got to like rest, you know.
Sure.
This is before we even formed our team. This is what kind of got us started.
That's what I was telling her.
So
So we're sitting there and we're recording in the dark in this lighthouse, and I'm kind of waxing poetic about how at this point I am kind of uncomfortable with the idea of ghosts. And mom was asking me why, and I said, well, I just don't like the idea of like a consciousness, like a person, like a mind or a spirit, like being trapped somewhere for like all of eternity or something. And my mom's response to that was, well, maybe they like it here. And she said out loud to the darkness, she said, do you like it here? And now my mom swears that at the time she heard something with her ears, but let me tell you how
I heard
I
a
don't
child's
believe
voice.
her.
I actually heard something because I said, Sarah, did you hear that?
That's not what you hear on the recording. That's not
But
what you hear. So, okay,
I swear I
all
heard.
right. She swears she heard something, but on the recording, right after she asked that, I start to kind of keep going up higher. And what you say on the recording, Mom, is don't go up any higher, Sarah. That's what you say to me.
I care. That was a long
So
time ago.
she acts like she doesn't hear it. She says, you know, do you, she says, maybe they like it here. Do you like it here? There's a pause, and then you say, don't go up any higher,
Higher.
Sarah, because I'm starting to keep climbing the stairs. But when I go back and I listen to the recording when we get back to our hotel and we get to that moment, I almost had a heart attack. I still remember that, like all the hair from like the top of my head to down to my toes was like standing up, because I was like, Mom, you're not gonna really believe what I'm hearing right now. And you've heard it. It's very creepy. It's almost like The Shining, Stephen King's The Shining, because you hear like a like two little girls in unison, like how they talk at the same time. When my mother said, do you like it here? You hear two little girls say, we like it here.
Do you like it here?
Yeah, I didn't hear it with my ears. Mom swears she heard something. That's debatable.
Oh, I don't
But
know how, because I had to enhance it to hear it through my
yes.
earbuds.
But well, yeah, but when yes, it is kind of faint, but you it is distinguishable though. You can hear it when you
Yeah,
really
you
listen.
can.
Yes.
Yeah,
Really
when I
cool,
heard
actually.
that, yeah. But yeah, so when we heard that and we heard the little girl's answer very clearly, intelligently, that's when I knew, like I was like, there's really
You
something.
got hooked. Yep.
Yeah, there's really
You had that
something.
moment.
We had that moment, and I said, this is, we've got to do this.
And we kind of had another incident there. We went back a couple years later, and my grandson McGuire went with us, which is also part of the team. And we were climbing the stairs, and all of a sudden, he just turned pale white.
Oh no.
Like, he said, something just touch me. And he just, I mean, he just, it was, he said something, and then he said he saw, said he thought he saw like a figure like run past him.
One of the girls,
So
maybe.
I mean, it really kind of upset him a little bit, because that's
No.
when he had first started with us, you know, so, but he handles it a lot better now. So that was,
Yeah, he's like 22 now,
yes.
so
And that was, he was like 15 or
16, yeah, maybe
15,
my son's age. But yeah, so that was the first one. And that was really when we were like, okay, let's buy a bunch of equipment. Let's like go to a bunch of places. And like, I mean, because it is life changing, I think, when you realize that somehow, some way, someone's consciousness can continue on. And especially the intelligent haunts to me are very compelling, because it's just everything in your mind just tells you, no, that's not possible. But we've had so many instances where we get in intelligent responses that you realize that it's a mystery. There's something very mysterious about the world and life and what happens after we die.
Afterlife,
And so yeah, so we were hooked. I think the number two EVP I sent was from Uchi Valley. It was either that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was either that one
the
or
cemetery.
Kumbo. Yeah, the cemetery.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is that's only about an hour drive from where we live. Yeah. And it is like the third largest cemetery in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's the last segregated cemetery. Yes. In Florida. Ooh. I don't know anywhere, but it is kind of a sad feeling because there's a fence that runs completely down the middle. And there's two separate entrances.
Is this like the non-Caucasian cemetery or?
So one side is all Caucasian, and okay. Then there is a whole other side.
Oh, okay, okay. So
they're completely separated. Do you see what I mean? But they're there together. They're there together, but you have to go in two completely different places.
There's a fence.
Yeah, to get to the white side versus the black side. And
that's sad.
It is sad.
Yes.
And because of that, you know, you could understand why there would be
some anger,
some kind of energy there.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so the legend to this place has always been that basically things seem really peaceful in the daytime, but if you go there after dark, there is kind of this dark presence that shows itself and doesn't like people to be roaming around at night and will like physically either show itself to you and just freak you out and try to get you to leave, or even sometimes push you, try to harm you.
And we've been both times, day and night.
Yeah. So. And this particular EVP, we were there, of course, at night. And we're walking around with our EMF detectors, and I'm kind of out ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, clear night. I remember stars and moon are out, and it's almost like daytime at nighttime. You know what I mean?
It's real bright. Yeah.
Where the moon is really bright, and you're casting a shadow, and the tombstones are casting shadows and things. But up ahead of me, only about 6 feet in front of me, maybe, I see a shadow on the ground dart away from us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like it was an animal. It wasn't like I could see anything.
It didn't really have a form. It was just
I mean, it, you know, it was bright enough that if it was literally something like, you know, an animal or solid or something, it was literally just a shadow. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very dark, and it just like went away from us really quick. And at the same exact moment that I kind of froze and everybody was kind of bumping into my back, you know, that kind of moment, all of our equipment started going off. Like the EMF detectors, and we have some things that like actually beep, and when the electromagnetic fields get high. And so we had like beeping noises, and all the lights were going off.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you guys see that? And they were like, no, what was it? You know? And I said, I just saw a shadow run away from us. And then all of our equipment's going crazy. And in that clip, you can hear us kind of reacting. And you hear me say, like, there's no reason we're out in the middle of nowhere, because this place is out in the country.
Right.
In the middle of a cemetery at night for our equipment to be going off like this, you know, except for that there was something right there in front of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, of course, we don't hear it at the time, but when I go back and review, I hear a voice say, I was giving you a warning. Yeah. That's what it's saying. It's very whispery, but it's saying very clearly to me, I was giving you a warning.
Yeah.
You can hear the warning part of it.
Yeah.
The rest is a little bit muffled. I tried to clean it up a little bit and make it a little bit louder, but the warning, you can definitely hear that come through.
And that's what I interpreted it as, is that the spirit is saying, I was giving you a warning.
Like to get the hell away from me and get out.
To get out. Yeah. And so that was another very cool moment that was all corroborated. I love it when all the things come together. Like you see something, the equipment starts going off, and you go back and you review, and you get EVPs. I mean, there's like it really points to that there was something really going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In that same cemetery, Sarah, I don't know if you remember, when we were there one time, we went back and you remember we could hear it sound like somebody, you could hear sticks breaking in the distance, like somebody was walking or something was walking in the distance. You could hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, like
loud
footsteps.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I remember that. That was pretty crazy.
Has anybody reported, I mean, that you've heard of, you know, with it being a segregated cemetery, I'm sure the white people who are buried there may not particularly be thrilled that black people are buried in the same cemetery. Have you ever heard of anybody catching spirits arguing with one another? If there's any bad blood between?
Now, I don't know about people catching that in that particular cemetery. Mm-hmm. I'm sure again that there's some kind of conflict, and that's why the spiritual energy there is so strong.
Yeah.
Because you do have literally like Civil War veterans buried on one side. And then unfortunately on the African American side, there's a bunch of unmarked graves. Literally there's just wooden crosses.
Yeah. Wow.
We haven't captured anything there, but we've used the Frank's box before, which is
she knows what a Frank's box or a spirit box.
Spirit box. Yeah. We have actually heard spirits talking to each other in the Frank's box, or calling
when that happens.
Like we'll be trying to talk to somebody and they'll be like calling that person.
Yeah.
Calling.
We,
so
Cindy, do you remember? I don't know if you ever had any interaction with her. My cousin Kim, she helped out with World's Largest Ghost Hunt. She was a different region though.
I recognize the name.
Yeah, she unfortunately passed away in July, and
what happened?
She had cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's awful.
I lost a son-in-law last February to cancer.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that too. It's very, very difficult to. But we actually, my team, we actually dissolved it because, you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we are too. But, you know, I still have I still help out with Gatekeeper Paranormal with Bobby Mackey's tours and things like that. And, you know, paranormal-wise, I kind of do everything through my podcast.
Oh, okay.
But
I remember when you were a coach one year in the World's Largest Ghost Hunt.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
You did great.
Yeah, we had to work within the confines we were allowed to. And
I know. It's really, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say too much, but we're no longer.
I love the concept. You know, we'll talk offline about it.
Yeah. Yes,
the concept
yes.
is fantastic. It's just the
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we I think maybe about a month or so after Kim passed, my cousin, her oldest daughter and her sister, her niece and my mom and myself and her mom and her mom. We all went over to her mom's house and tried to communicate with her. And it was her and her dad had literally passed away a year prior, almost to the day, from cancer.
Oh, wow.
So it was her and him there, and you could hear them on our, because I don't use the spirit box. Actually, I just bought a new one. I haven't tried it out yet. I use an app called Dead Time where it has a whole big bank of words, but it spits them out backwards.
Okay.
So, and then I have like an amp just to get that, you know, the reverb and you know, the crazy sound stuff to go along with it. But you could literally hear the two of them talking back and forth because her dad just wasn't understanding any of this stuff. He's like, we're like, y'all, you can talk to us. You know, we're here to talk to you guys. Y'all can talk to each other all the time. Can you, you know, go back and talk to us?
That's funny.
It was pretty cool.
That's pretty interesting when you hear that kind of stuff. Because we did, the 28th of February was the anniversary of my son-in-law passing.
Oh.
Aaron and I did. We did try to contact him that night, and we actually got some results.
Yeah. Really?
We did.
Were you guys using spirit box too?
We did some, and we got the most. I mean, we got some words, but the REM pod went crazy. The REM pod went crazy.
Yeah, so, Kim liked the flashlight. You know, the little flashlight trick. She always used to like using that, and that's what she gravitated towards when she moved
that's
on.
Awesome.
Oh. Yeah. It's really, you know, you want them here, but it's cool that, you know,
right.
Your mind knows that they're still there. They're just not physically with us anymore. Your right. heart wants them here for selfish reasons, of course. But
I know. But it's good to know that, you know, sometimes you can actually contact them sometime. And it is, that is kind of good to know.
Yeah, I'm curious about how wild it is on the other side. You know, I try to imagine, but I can't, you know, it's almost like, I know it's weird, but like Beetlejuice or something like.
It just seems like they're always a crowd.
How crazy is it when we get over there, you know?
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome because, you know, time doesn't exist in anywhere else but our plane of consciousness.
Right.
So, I'm hoping I can maybe go back and see what the Wild West was like, you know.
That would be,
or the medieval times, you know. And, you know, I'd like to, you know, track Jesus down because I have a few things I'd like to chat with him about, you know.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln. He's, I think, one of the first ones. After I, you know, have my family reunion, you know, that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be neat? You could go and meet all those people from history that you wanted to meet.
Oh, I plan on it. I'm going to track them down.
That would be awesome.
I think it's going to be cool. You know, because, I mean, I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. You know, I believe in angels. And
that's the way we are, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's hard to explain to people. Being a spiritual person, I am a very spiritual person.
Yeah.
For sure. I do definitely believe there is a great mystery to life and we're all part of it, you know.
Absolutely.
All
one big balls of energy.
Yep. But to talk about that, no, we have more than just I don't know if Mom's recalling. I mean, one of the point you bring up, I mean, one of the most interesting things too about doing this is I have a lot of times that we've captured more than one spirit talking, conversing with one another.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Opposed to talking to you.
Like
And a part of it, like some of the rules, I want to know the rules too, because a lot of what we have called, in my opinion, is spirits basically being like, don't talk to them. Or,
or don't say that.
They're listening to us, like, you know.
Yes.
It's very interesting to me because we have caught a lot of instances where the spirits are basically aware that we're listening, and
almost like there's colonies and there's a leader.
And kind of
says what you can't, what you shouldn't say, or
one wants to talk and the other one's like, you can't do that. You got to be quiet there, you know. And I don't get that. It's crazy, but I know that that's a common thing. I'm sure other paranormal investigators have caught that. I call it the no talking rule. You know?
I don't understand it. You know, what is so mind blowing that we couldn't in this life understand it?
Right.
Why in the hell don't they like to be on camera?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Let us see you, right?
Yeah.
There's only a few that'll let you do it, and they're hard to catch.
Very.
Let us see you. But I bet you there's rules, like I said, and we won't know the rules.
Well, like there's rules on here in
real
life. And there's
rules, you know, and I call that the no talking rule. There does seem to be a no talking rule.
No, don't say that.
Yeah.
We've called that before.
Yes.
Don't say that.
Oh, it makes me so mad. Oh. just tell me. I'm going to find out eventually anyway. So come on.
That's right.
And that kind of segues into the third EVP, which is another very common thing that I hear besides them talking amongst each other. And again, I'm sure all paranormal investigators know this one. There's a lot of get out.
Oh God.
There's a lot of like go or leave or get out, leave us alone kind of things.
Which I understand.
Which is funny, you know, and yes, in some cases understandable.
Well, I believe if you're a grumpy person in life, you're going to be a grumpy spirit.
I agree and with that too, actually. Yeah.
And then a lot of times they want to be left alone.
Yeah,
they want to not be bothered. Or we bother them with like the things that we're doing, like even when you move into a home.
Yeah.
And like people remodeling it and moving their stuff in. And like if there's a spirit that's already there, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, you've got to go. And it's funny. So they also spirits seem not all of them, but a lot of them want their space. They want not to be bothered, which I find very interesting.
Well, I mean, think about that for a second. Take a place like Waverly Hills. It's booked I think
We
pretty much
will.
every damn day of the whole year.
Right.
Can you imagine having people come in and ask you the same questions over
Over
and
and over.
over and
Right.
trying to get you to perform on cue and, you know, just be there for their entertainment? That has to be, it's a wonder these spirits don't attack us more often.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it was you, yeah, and you think about it, and someone just busts up in your home, like you don't even know who these people are. They like kick in your door and then they start questioning you like they're the FBI, you know,
We actually, oh God, we actually, we have, we, you know, we have people we work with, and there's a one psychic medium. She's a good friend of ours, Barbie St. John. She, we were talking, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but she was talking about being in a place sometime, and she had walked into a room by herself. She was there in the room by herself for a minute, and she said there was this teenage girl that was still there, and she's like, God, can you just make them go away? And then, of course, a horde of people came in right behind her, and she's like, I mean, that's, God, that's horrible to think about, you know, but I don't know.
Having no privacy.
Well, but it's so fun to talk to them, you
Yeah,
know?
it is. Yes, it is.
Oh.
So maybe, and we try to always be respectful. Like
Oh, yeah.
we do not agree with, and I know everybody has their own
With
style,
aggressive.
but provoking and
Oh, you mean
aggressive
like
text.
Zach Bagan style? Yeah, he's a douche.
Right. Yeah. The
Do,
what we call the
people don't do that. That's just rude.
no. Yes.
Yes.
And so we've always tried to just talk to them like they're people and
Yeah.
always say it, like we're sorry if we're bothering you. And we ask like it would you like us to leave? That's one of
Questions,
the
right?
questions. We might ask a few questions and then be like, is it okay that we're here? Do you like our company? And try to wait for a response. And then we'll be like, do you want us to leave? And if we get like response, like an
Yep.
overwhelming response on our equipment and
And
stuff,
we have.
when we ask, do you want us to leave? It's like, okay, and we'll leave because they're obviously saying now's not a good time or you're bothering me.
Right.
And I think if more people had that approach to, you know, just be very respectful. And then maybe come back another time and be like, do you remember me? You
Right.
know, and we always introduce ourselves when we go into
Yeah.
a place like, you know, my name's Sarah, this is Cindy, you know, and kind of tell them why we're there and that we just want to talk and stuff. And yeah, if you just treat spirits like they're people, you know, just people that you can't see, I think it makes a big difference too with whether or not they're willing to interact with you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody came in my house and was being a jerk to me and saying mean things to me, I would either hurt them or just kick them out, you know?
Right,
It's
right.
kind of the same thing. But getting to the get out part though, like
Yeah.
it's kind of weird because, like, take Mansfield Reformatory, costs a lot of money to rent. I think it was like $2,500 for us to do it, a private
Right.
there.
Wow.
But they're
Yeah.
telling us to get out. I'm like, guys, we paid so much money. If
Yeah,
you don't want to
that's
talk
a
to us, that's
little
fine.
different.
I will leave you
Yeah.
alone personally.
I'm
But
sorry. Right.
I'll just get out of this particular area, you
Area,
know?
right. Yeah.
Then you could just
I'll go in the next room. Yeah. I'll
Yeah,
go down the hall.
exactly.
I'll go down the hall a little ways.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And maybe they understand still, of course, the concept of money. Hey, we spent a lot of money.
Yes.
And ghost hunting is not cheap. Oh, Lord.
No, it's not. And
Oh, gosh.
there's still a lot of things we would love to get that we haven't been able to because we're a small team, you know.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
you know, believe it or not, I think we've captured more on our recorder than any other piece of
Yeah.
equipment we want, you
Same.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always
Just a simple
the
recorder.
voices. Yeah. So we
Yeah, you
tell
know, we
yeah,
have
we
all
tell
the
everybody.
bells and whistles too and all the fun little gadgets, but honestly, my favorite thing is to carry around my recorder,
Yeah.
and I may have a camera with me, I may not, and just my body. That's my two favorite pieces of equipment. It's real simple.
Right.
Yep.
I mean,
Yep.
you know, I get those people who have to do all the content and stuff, and like, you know, with me, I'm working on trying to get stuff on YouTube, so I need some content too, but
Right.
I like to just to investigate and see what happens, not just to put
Right.
something on TV, you know.
Right.
Sure.
That's the way we are. That's the way
Yeah.
we are.
And we do also do house calls.
Okay.
To try to
We've
help
helped.
people. We've helped several people over the years. I would say at least 10.
Those are rough. Those are rough.
Yeah, they are. And we take those real serious. I think every paranormal team does. Like it's different when you choose to go somewhere, but if someone reaches out to you and says, we have a problem,
Yeah.
I mean,
See if
we
you can.
pretty much drop everything and try to go as fast as we can
Sure.
and try to help those people. And those have really been obviously some of the scariest.
They have. Because the spirits know while we're there.
Well, and usually the spirits that are there are not the
They're
nicest,
not the
and
good ones.
that's why
Yeah.
the family's having problems. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we stopped doing them a couple years ago just because it was getting to the point of, they don't understand it's not going to be a one and done thing. You
Well,
know,
no, that's what
just
we
because
tell
we're
them too.
there doesn't mean these spirits are going to interact with us at all. We may not pick up anything. It
And
doesn't mean your house isn't haunted,
we
but
also tell them, look, we can't guarantee you that we'll be able to make them leave.
yeah.
Make them
You know,
leave,
we can't, we
or
can't guarantee that. Yeah.
we always tried to make them understand that, look, you own this. This is your property. You need to take responsibility for it. And, you would give them the tools to help them do that. But they don't ever want to put the work into it. They just want everything done for them, or they lie about the stuff that they've done. So we don't
That's
really know
right.
what's going on. It's just like,
Right.
That's your point. I'll shoot.
we told you to be honest to start with, because if you're not honest with us, we can't figure out what's really going on. So,
That's true. That's true.
no.
That's true. Yeah, they have to be pretty upfront. Yeah.
Well, and we usually give the disclaimer whenever we go to help people. And this is what I found to be true as well, that sometimes bringing us in, bringing paranormal investigators
It
in
stirs it up more.
is going to make it worse. So we always add that disclaimer, like, yeah, we want to help you. We want to try to at least do the research, and we'll do research and then also try to reach out and basically figure out who is here. That's a big part of it, is just
Before
what is going on here, you
first,
know? But hey, us being here, reaching out, talking to them,
sometimes makes them angry.
so,
Yeah, they may get pissed off at you for letting us come for bringing them in. So
And
just
we
be
tell
warned.
everybody that it could really exacerbate things, and sometimes it really does. And then there's been those few cases that are a joy because when we're done, there is some kind of resolution, and the people say, "Wow, it got so much better," you know.
We those man, those were so few and far between for us. There was this one place we did where there's a younger couple, and they had their dad living, or her dad was living with them, but one of her sons had passed, I think, if 6 or 7 months ago from some kind of just weird, real heart thing. Like, literally, he was fine one moment and he literally dropped dead the next moment. And we went in, and I was upstairs, and I'm an empath, so I feel things and I can sometimes see them, like third eye see, not like physical CC. Went upstairs, and I kept seeing this little boy peeking his head out of the bathroom looking at us. I'm like, there's a little boy here. And I described him. He's like, well, that was my son who passed away. And we actually got some EVPs of him talking and walking around and stuff. And we came back the next time and we got him to cross over. That was, have you ever been a part of that? Crossing someone over.
So I think one time, and it was really something because this was an actual murder case.
Oh, gosh.
In our town, it was very well known. It was a kind of a big deal, probably made national news. But there was an elderly gentleman who was, and this was probably about 7 years ago now. It's been a while,
Remember,
six or seven.
Holly's the one that wants us to go now.
Right. But what it is this elderly man was bludgeoned to death
Oh,
by his caretaker and some friends of the caretaker. He was a widower. I don't know if he had any surviving children, but he lived in this big house in our town by himself. And
they were trying to get his PIN number. He wouldn't give them his
his
bank
bank
number.
information.
Yes,
Yeah,
and so
so
they kept
this
him.
was like literally like when I say it was like a, she was like a CN or something. Like she was supposed to be there to take care of him, mm-hmm. but when she realized, I guess
he
had money and he lived alone and she obviously was not a good person, she got a bunch of guys, big men together, and I think there might have been one other woman, but like three, her, another woman, and three men tried to bully this older gentleman into giving up, you know, so that they could rob him blind. Mm. And he would not, I think I could say his name because you can look up the case, but it was Mr. Wallace Scott. His last name was S-C-O-T-T. His first name was Wallace. I always thought it was like Scott Wallace. It's actually Wallace, Mr. Wallace Scott. You can look up that murder case. And he would never give these people his information. He was good. So brave. Mm-hmm. And they beat him to death tied to a chair in his bedroom. So then what happened was they put his house up for sale. And my sister happens to be one of the biggest real estate agents here in the town that we live in. And she got his house. She was the one selling his house. And she sold it to this wonderful family. It was a wife and husband and two young children.
I got to ask you, because
yeah.
she's required by law to tell them that someone was murdered there. How did she go about doing that?
No. She did. Because, look. She yes.
She let them know.
They knew.
Because the stain was still in the bedroom.
Not the stain.
What? There was not a stain.
There was a gigantic piece of the carpeting.
Oh, that's right.
There was a gigantic square of carpeting in the master bedroom that had been cut out from the forensic team because it was so covered in blood.
That's right.
And they used it for the case. So when they bought the place, there was a giant square of carpet cut out in the middle of the bedroom. And they knew, I think they knew this, everybody knew the story of what had happened. They knew the house that they were buying. Mm-hmm. These were rational people.
Yeah, they didn't think anything of it.
They started remodeling, of course, making it their own place. And, sure. you know, just it is what it is. And it was a big, beautiful, beautiful home.
Mm-hmm. But it was an older home. It needed like updating.
Sure.
And you could tell they had just started renovating
it.
When
And they had just bought it and they started renovating it. And of course, I mean, they called my sister and was like, look, I mean,
there's things going on.
We don't know how we feel about this place. We know we just closed on it, but basically like it was just right off the bat, you know, lights turning on and off,
the fans going on,
things moving. I mean, they literally have like a paint can sitting right by them and that they're dipping the brush in and they climb up on the ladder. And then when they come back down it's to gone. Dip it, the paint can is gone and it's like two rooms away. I mean, really wild stuff. Okay.
Mr. Scott, goodness.
Yeah. Door slamming and they seeing things and hearing things. And they called Holly, my sister, and was like, we don't know about this place. And it was so funny because my sister was like, well, you're in luck. Because it just so happens my little sister and my mother are paranormal investigators. So do you mind if we send them in there to see what's going on and kind of feel it out? And they were happy. They were like, yes, please come. And what the heck is going on? So it was really a cool case because we got in there and we set up a bunch of equipment and we were able to make direct contact. How powerful of a spirit he was.
Yes.
He was coming through completely clear through the Frank's box. Talking to someone on a walkie talkie.
Yeah.
Wow. We were like, Mr. Scott, like you can't stay here. He literally said back, why the hell not?
He did.
So I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but I mean, I was like, I don't know if you know, I said, but, you were brutally murdered. All those people have been caught. They have been caught. Thank goodness. They were caught very shortly after they were found out and they were all brought to justice. Mm. And I explained to them, you know, the people that are in your home are not the people that did this to you.
Yeah.
Those people have been caught. They're going to prison for the rest of their lives. And this is a wife and husband with two small children. And they just want to make this home a home to raise their kids in. And we just talked and rationalized with him, and we said, you know, your wife is on the other side. He was married, and she had just passed away 10 years or more before he was
killed.
Didn't
he say he was going to join his wife or something? He said something.
Yeah, and we said, you know, you don't have to worry. We really got the feeling he thought that these people were still trying to rob him.
Yeah.
He thought that the people in his house, the family that had moved in, you know, because of what happened to him, they were trying to rob him, you know?
Yeah.
And when we really talked to him like a person and we said, this is not them. Those people have been caught and they're going to prison. And you just need to go be with your wife. At a certain point, I think he said, okay.
Aww.
And when the whole session ended, it was eerie because it got really quiet. And, you know, we said a prayer and we packed everything up. And the amazing thing is that the family went back in there and resumed remodeling it, and they've moved in, and they told my sister it was like a night and day difference. It was like everything was just a normal, peaceful, quiet house.
Wow.
But that's really the one case that stands out to me that we knew for a fact that we helped this guy move on. Yeah.
Very cool.
So
awesome thing to do.
Yeah.
You can't really describe it.
No.
Yeah.
It was rewarding.
It was.
And there has been places we've had to go back to like 3 or 4 times before we could even get into the results.
Well, or that we feel like we basically have to constantly, like, what's there will never like go away. You can kind of like make it calm. Yes. You know what I mean? You can kind of make it calm down for a little while.
Yeah.
But what's there is there.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if you're dealing with elementals and things like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
right. Those are super fun to deal with.
Yes. Yeah. And that was one of the scary ones. that for us. It resulted in they moved.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Which is just in some cases is the smart thing to do. Yeah. You know,
we couldn't help them. We couldn't help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. That stuff is So this, the third EVP is from Coon Hill. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called. Okay. Now, that's in a little tiny middle of nowhere, but it's weird. That place, I don't know if I should say we're really trespassing, but
kind of. But you have to walk like a mile and a half
at least down a dirt road.
To get to it. And it's like somebody just set it in the middle of the dirt road.
Yeah.
It's like a cemetery was just boom, there.
You're just walking down a dirt road and all of a sudden there's a cemetery in front of you in the middle of the road. And it's a very strange place.
Yes.
But it's another very old, it has Civil War veterans in there, unmarked graves.
I'm assuming these are like Confederates.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's some slaves built there.
Some slaves. Graves, all in one space. And the thing about that place is that there's a 4 foot I would say about 4 foot high brick. No, it's not a fence. It's a solid, wall.
Like a solid wall,
That goes all the way around. And then there's one entrance and it's a big wrought iron gate with a big wrought iron sign that says Coon Hill. Above the entrance to this place, and that's it's the Coon Hill Cemetery, and the legend there is that if you try to get up and walk, if you get up on that 4 foot high wall and you try to walk like a balance beam all the way around back to the entrance again, that invisible hands will shove you off the wall. They won't try. So we had a guy, of course, volunteered to do it. His name was Cody. So we were like, okay, like, you know, you're going to do this, Cody. And we got him up there and he started walking. And it's a small cemetery, but it's still a little bit of a walk, I would say, about, 20, 30 foot that way, 20, 30 foot that way, in a big square. And so he walks about 2/3 of the way around. Mm-hmm. And then he freezes. Like he stops on his own.
This was in the summertime.
And it was in the summertime, yes. This was in Florida. And he got this look on his face, and we knew something was wrong. Yeah. And we were like, Cody, what's going on? And he's like, I feel like I've just run into a freezing mass of air. This is in the summer in Florida, so it's like 80 degrees.
Remember when he breathed?
Wow. He took a breath.
Like when it's cold, you can see.
And we could see Cody's breath.
Oh, wow.
When he exhaled. And he said he had just run into this mass of really cold air. And when he exhaled, and it's like 85 degrees at night in the summer in Florida, and we saw his breath come out of his mouth like that, we all basically ran over to him and grabbed him and told him to get down off the wall. We pulled him off the wall because we thought that it was really stupid if we kept going, because it is tall enough that if something literally shoved you,
you could hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And so, so we pulled him down because it was a really scary, eerie moment.
I think this is a good place to end part one of our two-part series with the Midnight Boys and Girls. Be sure to tune in next Sunday for our second episode and part two of my lovely and very fascinating, in my opinion, chat with the Midnight Girls and Boys Paranormal Team. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production.